Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We are learning about the power of the gospel from Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Paul said, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." And on the broadcast last Friday, we have been or were emphasizing the purpose of its power, namely salvation, and the importance of understanding clearly and declaring clearly the sinful condition of man. Because until men are brought to understand their sinful condition before a holy God, there will be no desire to embrace the gospel of Christ. There will be, listen to me now, no ability to embrace the gospel of Christ. Men have to be taught by the Holy Spirit of their sin and then shown Christ as the remedy for their sin. And if you set Christ before them and induce them to believe in Christ, to make a decision for Christ, to receive Christ, to pray and ask Jesus to be their Savior and many other things, before they have been convicted of their sin by the Holy Spirit of God, they may do something that sounds like, looks like, appears to be one of these things that you have suggested them that they do. But if there is no sense of guilt and sin and need, whatever they have done is certainly not to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ in the biblical way. That is involved, is related to the power of God unto salvation. Whatever they've done is something short of truly believing on Christ, because you don't believe on Christ until, first of all, you recognize your need of deliverance. You need to be rescued. From what? From sin. Now, one of the things I was talking about on the broadcast Friday is how important it is for people to understand their sinful condition from birth in Adam. And that is often either not mentioned at all or is glossed over and rather minimized. Because I think there are a couple of problems that often attend that particular truth. Number one, the whole concept of a literal historical Adam is rather embarrassing to many people in our day. Many Christians in our day, influenced as they have been by evolutionary teaching and compromising as the church has been in some cases embracing a theistic evolutionary idea, once you do that, it's hard to pinpoint the literal historicity of Adam and Eve in the garden. Where does that come in? Obviously not at the beginning of the evolutionary process. Somewhere at the end of the evolutionary process, I would surmise. And it's real easy at that point to consider it just to be a story, a fable, a myth, which we are told. I've heard this more than once. The fact that something is a myth doesn't mean that it's not true. It just means it's not literally and historically true. Well, what is that supposed to mean? Well, I suppose that is supposed to mean that the men have fallen into sin. And this is the story that communicates the fall. So yes, men are fallen sinners, but not because of any real, literal, historical Adam. Because, after all, if we are products of evolution, then you can't really pinpoint one father and one mother of the whole human race. In other words, the idea that we are all descended from one man, Adam, and one woman, Eve, doesn't seem very likely if you accept an evolutionary framework, even a theistic evolutionary framework. But the Bible is very explicit about this. And the Bible is very explicit that Adam is the representative head of the human race. And the reason he is because he was the first man created by God. And in that position, he was tested. And in that position, he fell. And in that fall, he plunged the whole human race into sin and depravity. And therefore, and thereafter, all men are born sinners. And that just, among other things, highlights our desperate need of rescue. And that's what the gospel does. It delivers men from their sins. It is the power of God unto salvation. That's what we have to be saved from. Our sin. Not just our sins, plural, but our sin, our inherited depravity, our sinful condition, our fallen condition. And talking about a literal historic Adam is rather embarrassing to some people. And then the idea that we could be recipients of a condition that we did not personally participate in, and we did not personally choose to sin and to rebel against God, but we are somehow constituted sinners on the basis of what somebody else did, namely Adam, our head, that's rather embarrassing to many people in our day. Doesn't seem right. Doesn't seem just. And so we don't want to talk about that. So we don't talk too much about man's original sin and his inherited depravity in Adam, because Adam is rather an embarrassing point, and inherited depravity is a rather embarrassing point to modern minds. And after all, what we're about in many cases is trying to make the gospel more acceptable, more palatable, more compatible with modern thinking, and these doctrines just won't go down to the modern mind. They may have been acceptable to the medieval mind, but they'll never be acceptable to the modern mind. And so what do? We hold back on some of the truth, or we change and repackage the truth, or maybe even deny the truth. And then we think that we are proclaiming the gospel, and we think we still have the message that is the power of God unto salvation. I think not. And we are guilty of the very thing that Paul is warning us about here when he says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And he was not ashamed of these aspects of the gospel of Christ. Just stay with us as we study through the book of Romans and see how Paul explains all of these things. They were no embarrassment to him, and they must not be an embarrassment to us. And if they are, we've got a serious problem. Now, it is true enough, we can tell men that in addition to our inherited depravity, we have, all of us, personally, willingly, willfully sinned, and one sin of our own doing and choosing makes us sinners as much as Adam's sin makes us sinners. And so we really can't blame Adam. We seconded his choice, every one of us have, and did so of our own free will. Touchy subject there, but I have no problem or hesitation in saying we have all sinned of our own free will. That's the direction our free will goes. It exercises itself in the direction of sin. And we have all done that. And so, nobody is a sinner only because of Adam, because every one of us have seconded and thirded and fourthed and 100th and 200th and 1,000th and 2,000th ratified Adam's choice. But the fact remains that we are born in a sinful condition. Adam was created in a neutral condition. Theologians sometimes debate, was Adam actually conditioned in a state of righteousness or just a state of neutrality? I won't get into that debate right now. But we'd have to say he was created in a state of sinlessness. He hadn't sinned. Whether that was actual righteousness or not, I don't know. But we're not born that way. We are not born the way Adam was created. We don't go through the same process Adam did. We don't start sinless, and then when we sin, we become sinners. We start sinners, already sinners, condemned. And then we plunge right in because of our sinful hearts, our sinful natures. We plunge right in and just add to the sinfulness. We just fill up our record with personal sins. And that's why we need deliverance. And you see, part of the reason why this is important, there's several reasons, but one reason why it's so important is this shows us how desperate is our condition. If we're born sinners with a sinful nature and a sinful bent, and yes, even the condemnation that goes to sinners already upon us, then our condition is more desperate than we thought. That's one reason why it needs to be emphasized. And another reason why this truth should not be skirted is because the only hope we have of an imputed righteousness is if we accept and understand an imputed sinfulness. Imputation is putting to the account of another. Adam sinned, and that was imputed to my account. Oh, horrors, says the modern mind, that's not fair. Don't knock the foundation out from under that, because the only hope of rescue is to have the righteousness of Christ imputed to my account. And if it is unfair for God to impute Adam's sin to my account, then how can it be fair for him to impute Christ's sin to my account? When you deny the doctrine of original sin, or if you please, imputed sin, you have denied the basis for the doctrine of imputed righteousness, and you don't have salvation. You don't have a Savior. You don't have a way of salvation. It's gone. It's gone. All hope is gone. So don't be embarrassed about the truth of the gospel. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. It's the truth. Declare it and leave the results with God. And like the Apostle Paul, learn to say, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, saying, good day. May God give you His eternal peace.